The following is a paid program. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of the owners or management of MyTalk 107.1.
What is it you want? Real estate.
It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
Yeah, she is here, your host of the Red Hot Real Estate Show. And from RE/MAX Results, my good friend, licensed realtor extraordinaire, Miss Mimi Shoneman. Hey, Mimi.
Good morning.
Hello, hello. Glad that you are here. Also glad to hear the lovely and talented voice of Phil Olson from Cross Country Mortgage. How's it going over there, Phil?
Yo.
Hi.
Yo.
So let's start with your NMLS number, please.
NMLS 238103 and company NMLS 3029 Cross Country Mortgage.
Our number wizard from Cross Country Mortgage here with us today. So, Mimi, first of all, I want to tell you and Phil thank you for all of your help. And here's why. I got a lovely text message from my friend, the previous owner of my home. And yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of me closing on my home. And you both were instrumental in me being able to get this deal done. So, thank you both very much.
It was an honor.
Yes.
And
thank
very
you.
Excited to watch you through that whole process. It was right when we were coming into COVID.
Right, right.
And it was kind of a very fearful time with a lot of unknowns.
Right. And speaking of unknowns, the fact that we are 1 year out from that and the world has changed and shifted dramatically, even in the last year. So I know that you and Phil are both in like whirlwind of information and everything that's going on right now, because it's still so much has changed even in the last year.
I would say, and Phil, you can chime in on this. I would say that if you compare 2021 to 2020, mm-hmm. it's almost like you were talking about the Stone Age.
Right.
Back in the day. It has changed that dramatically, at least from buying and selling. It's very, very different. Phil, your insight on that?
I would say you are totally right, like you normally are, Mimi. It's a whirlwind out there, folks. I swear the mortgage and real estate industry has been turned over 100% on how we have to do things now with pandemic, now post-pandemic, still pandemic, mm-hmm. housing market, inflation, unemployment. I mean, all these things come into play, and it's beyond crazy. That's all I can say.
Yeah. And, you know, just even since the beginning of the year, I talked to a lot of people that were looking maybe late fall, and they just aren't ready to do something now. And to explain to somebody is one thing.
Right.
But to be in the mix and actually boots on the ground, it's a different experience. You know, just now I'm looking at the weekly activity report that's put out every week from the Minneapolis Area Association of Realtors. And Phil and I've got a lot of other market updates that we want to make sure that we cover, because there was a lot going on this week as far as like numbers.
Okay.
So right now the new listings have increased, thank goodness, to almost 11%, which means that there's only 1,730 active homes that are available right now.
Right.
And so we've actually bumped up to 1 month of inventory from 0.9.
That's an improvement, though. We got to take what we can get.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, I believe when we started the year, and I can go back on this slide, but right now our median sales price is $328,000.
Okay.
And Phil and I are going to talk a little bit today about inflation and what that looks like as far as price improvements, price increases, what you're going to have to be prepared for going forward. Phil, that is a nice segue for us to kind of start talking about some of the market updates that we saw across the board, including the CPI index. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That's called the core price index. And the core price index for you young folks out there that are in your 30s and 40s, you would have never ever saw inflation. Well, back in the 1980s, inflation was rampant.
Okay.
What is inflation? Inflation is when prices go up and they continue to go up based on demand, based on the flooding of the market of money, based on restricted pipelines or streamlines of products hitting the market. Well, this last week, the CPI index came out and they were estimating it to be at about 1%. It came in at 4.2%, which is the highest the inflationary market has gone since 1981. Not a good thing for the market. The bond market hated it. Stock market hated it. That was the day we saw the stock market drop 700 points. And in one day's time, we lost 60 basis points on it is the bond market. Now, we have the bond market has come back slightly, but interest rates have probably ticked up about another 1/8% on all mortgages now based on that. And then also the unemployment rate came out. And if everybody's been monitoring that for a while, it's been going down.
Right.
Well, this is the first week in many weeks that it actually ticked up. It went from 6% to 6.1%. And you're probably hearing about all these employers not being able to hire people.
And that was actually predicted to be far lower than that, the 6 point. It was expected to be lower. Is that correct? Or was it expected to be higher?
They estimated that 1 million new people would have found jobs in that specific time frame, and only 250,000. We only increased employment by 250,000, so we fell short by about 300%.
Okay, so there's a lot more unemployment than was expected, and nobody likes to hear that.
Correct.
Okay, and you said that rates actually jumped up just a smidge. Let's talk a little bit about the rates that you were able to quote last week on a 30-year fixed.
30-year fixed, home ready program, 3% down, 3.25%, 5% down, 3.125%. A client had a conventional loan. They had a 665 credit score. They put 5% down. Their rate was 3.5%. I locked a rate on a 15-year, 30-year fixed refinance rate and term, 2.625.
Okay. So still really, really good because rates are historically low still.
Mm-hmm.
And that is driving a tremendous amount of people out there trying to get homes. There's a lot of questions going on right now about whether or not we are in a bubble that we were in right before the market crashed in 2007, 2006. From our perspective, the National Association of Realtors, and I believe also from the Mortgage Bankers Association, we are not believing that we're in a bubble. Part of the reason for that is because the situations were very, very different back in the down market. It was a different issue that caused that decline in the market. Right now, our primary issue is the lack of inventory, and that continues to go down. And Phil, when we come back from the break, let's just start talking a little bit about how inflation is going to affect folks. Like, for instance, the cost of a home right now. If you were to buy a home and the appreciation rate is about 13% predicted for the year, and if you today are buying a home at $300,000, Phil, what would that home cost you in 2022 if you decide to wait?
$339,000.
Okay. So $40,000. That's a lot of money, Phil.
That's a lot of money, Meanie.
Oh, my gosh.
And guess what? You and I are all about saving money for clients, but guess what? When their mortgage goes up by $40,000, guess what happens to their mortgage payment at a 3% interest rate? It goes up almost $200 a month.
Okay, so I have a question. So we also have been talking about how potential buyers are being asked to come in higher than the asking price. And so when we go back to the conversation you had about the bubble, Mimi, What are we telling those buyers and how, you know, that they don't have to be concerned that they're paying more and that they're going to be able to recoup their investment?
Phil, would you like to address that?
Sure. So if I buy a house today and I pay $340 for it, but it's maybe only worth $310,
mm-hmm.
but during the course of the year, the property appreciates at a it appreciates at that 13% interest rate. Well, guess what? By the end of the year, you're at $340.
Okay.
And next year, they're already predicting for the metro to increase by 7.9%. And guess what? When we started this year, they predicted the market to appreciate at 7%, but yet we're at 13%.
Okay.
So if we don't have if there's no projected bubble, and I don't see anything, I know Mimi doesn't see anything, I'm not hearing about it. And I go to, you know, I'm on a lot of different websites and I do a lot of research. I listen to a lot of economists. Nobody's predicting it. But I'm not saying it couldn't happen here in maybe 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't predict the future.
Right.
And one thing for everybody to know is we aren't advising our clients about what's happening in the market.
Right.
You're facing multiple offers.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the percent of lists received by our sellers is over 100%, almost 102. That tells you for every house, they're up and over the asking price almost always, not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on where you're going. Phil?
We've got some data out there on the national average. Every consumer is going up against 4.8 offers.
And in my opinion,
4.8 offers.
That is a national average, and that counts some of the most obscure places in the country. What we're really seeing is more like 10, 20, 30, 50 offers here in the metro. You know, any listing, especially I would say under 400,000, has just unbelievable pressure for offers. There's just so many buyers. Probably one house for every 20 or more buyers.
Wow. All right. Well, we are going to go to our break. We're going to come back and give some more information about what's going on out in this absolutely just hot on fire market, courtesy of our friend Phil Olson from Cross Country Mortgage and Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group. We'll also take your questions. You can call us at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 1071. I'm Ms. Shannon here with Mimi Shoneman of the Red Hot Real Estate Group and RE/MAX Results. Also, our friend from Cross Country Mortgage, Mr. Phil Olson. It's a great day for you to call and get your questions answered. If you've just been percolating on something and going, should I put my house on the market? Should I not? Should I wait? Today is a great day to get those questions answered. Just call us at 651-641-1071.
Okay, Phil. So, we have a lot of information. Today we're going to talk about what we're seeing out in the market. We are realizing that there is a tremendous, more than I've ever seen in 15 years, cash buyers. And so normally that's people that have been, you know, maybe sold a big property and they've got the cash to spend on a property. But Phil, we're going to talk about how we're converting some of our clients into cash buyers that may not have realized that they could do that. And so let's start with a story that you've got.
Well, I'm going to use a story that you and I have. We recently converted a cash buyer. Okay. And we didn't even think they were a cash buyer. This client was working with another lender. They made some offers, didn't get the offer accepted, and then they talked with me. And see, what the thing was is they wanted to put 20% down. They lost 6 houses. But after talking with them, I realized that they had a ton of equity in their home. They had $300,000 in equity. They had IRAs and assets of $750,000, plus they had another $100,000 in the bank. And I'm looking at all these assets and I'm going, why aren't we a cash buyer? And so I took their application, gathered up all their information, noticed that they had well over $1 million in assets. And then I proposed them the idea of being a cash buyer. And they go, well, we don't have $400,000 in our bank account. I go, yeah, you do. You guys got $1.1 million. And they go, but hold one here. We're 50 years old. We're going to pay tax if we pull our money out of our IRA. I said, that is correct, unless you replace the money within 60 days of pulling the money out. And that was key. So how did I help them? Well, I helped set up a bridge loan. We, Mimi and I, helped them coordinate with liquidating their assets with their financial planner and a tax accountant. And the tax accountant did verify that if they put their money back within 60 days of withdrawal, there would be no capital gains on that. The next offer that Mimi helped them put together was accepted. Hooray. The clients, then their house sold 2 days later because we immediately put their house on the market and it sold. And believe it or not, I then did what was called delayed financing refi. 2 days after they closed, I did a refinance. Refinanced, it is their new cash buy into a refinance. And I was able to give them their cash back within 35 days of them liquidating their funds. How do you like that?
Wow. We love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely why you're the numbers wizard, because that took a lot of line this up, line that up. And it's just like they said, well, we can't do that. And you're like, nope, here's how you can.
And so, Phil, you know, I think that there's a couple of things that you talked about in that little spiel of your process, but that I would like to break down a little bit in case somebody's listening and they don't know what those things are that you just talked about. So let's just start back with defining what a bridge loan is and who qualifies for that.
A bridge loan is for a consumer that has credit scores above 680, have a high equity position in their property, and literally we can borrow 80% of that money out of the equity out of their home, and then they can use that as a down payment.
Okay, so equity again, let's define what equity is. That is the difference between what you can sell your house for and what you owe on it. So that spread is your equity, what you've built up in appreciation over the years, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So somebody who's a homeowner, and this is what we talk about all the time, about how real estate is really the key to building wealth. You know, to save up, let's just say $100,000+ just because you're not going to Starbucks anymore, that's going to take you a long time. You know, where, you know, you can put your money in stocks. They go up, they go down. And real estate, for the most part, at least in my lifetime, has almost always appreciated, except for that small nugget of window that we had that was so painful back in the early 2000s.
Right.
So, Phil, you know, when you presented that option and they had never thought that thought before, let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, they were going to in the beginning, they were skeptical. They thought that they were going to have to pay taxes to the federal government. They were concerned that, well, it would take a long process. And basically, I've done this so many times, and I'm not going to tell you it's going to work with every client because every financial institution is different, but I have a very good understanding of what the norm is. And based on what they were trying to do, I kept on telling myself, why are we trying to pound a square peg into a round hole here? If I make them a cash buyer, what's the benefit? Well, one, it's going to put them at the top of the list. Number two, there's no financing. Number three, it's a super clean deal. Number four, Mimi, if you want to write up the offer and say we're going to close in 10 days, you can do it. All right. And the only thing is that a seller has to do to prove that they have the money to be a cash buyer is, Mimi, you tell the people, what do they have to do to prove that?
Well, when I get an offer from a cash buyer, I would like to see proof of funds on bank or financial institution letterhead signed by their representative and with a contact information so that I can call them and verify that they are who they say they are. That's what I want to see as a listing agent. Phil, one of the other great benefits of being cash, when you have 20 offers, and Ms. Shannon, it's covered this whole desk area in here, 20 offers. You are working up a spreadsheet because there's no other way to do it.
Right.
And then you're trying to present to your clients, okay, the nuances of how one is better than the other. Let's just say that you get two that are financed, that are beautiful offers. But there's got to be something different, right? So the person is different, the lender is different, the agent is different, the mortgage company is different. We're looking at all of those things. When you're a cash buyer, that's why you elevate straight to the top. That's why we call it cash is king, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can close fast, just like Phil said. But the one other thing that we love is that you don't have to get an appraisal.
Right.
If you use cash. And right now what we're seeing is that our sellers are very concerned with these up and over offers that those offers might not appraise.
Right.
Phil, we're seeing quite a few, I would say, appraisals come in a little bit low. And you were going to say?
I'm going to tell you, in the last 50 deals, I've had 5 appraisals come in low, and that's over the last 60 days. So we're probably at around 10%. The good news is on all 4 of those deals, the agents, including Mimi on one of them, was able to renegotiate and get either the seller to accept the appraised value, or we were able to come to some type of positive negotiation.
Okay.
And when you are to negotiate to get a seller to come off of their price in this market, I consider a phenomenal win, just so you know. And you don't see a ton of it because right now sellers understand that they have lots and lots of options. So what are they wanting to see in their offer? It's something called an appraisal gap clause where they say, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, if you are going to go up and over by such a substantial amount, we don't have comps right now to support your offer. So what are you going to do to guarantee me that I get that when we walk away? And that's what's called an appraisal gap clause.
Mm-hmm.
So the buyer, they want to see, do you have the capability of bringing extra money into the transaction if the appraisal does come in low? Phil?
You know, one of the things that I would like to talk to the folks about here is, so how can you get this cash, okay? And I'd like to talk about that a little bit after the break.
Right. And we are happy to take your calls. You can be part of the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Our number is 651-641-1071. We'll be right back here on MyTalk 1071.
Smart speakers are the new radios, but sometimes Alexa can be a little tricky. For tips on enabling your Amazon Echo to play MyTalk, go to MyTalk1071.com, keyword Alexa.
Put your sword down, dive right into the pain, stay
your weather forecast from Ken Barlow on 5 Eyewitness News today. 75 for your high, dense fog for most of the morning here. We could have some thunderstorms south of the cities tonight, low of 54. And then tomorrow, it's warming up quite a bit to a high of 78 and a low of 58. Currently, it is 62 and cloudy at MyTalk 1071.
And you are joining us for the Red Hot Real Estate Show. I am Ms. Shannon here with Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and RE/MAX Results, and our good friend Phil Olson from Cross Country Mortgage reminding you can be part of the show. Call us at 651-641-1071.
Okay, Phil. So we are talking a little bit in the last break about how cash is king. We love cash. And so how does one go about being a cash buyer when they never thought the thought? So it's a different paradigm when you've got, you know, somebody that was planning on financing, but they're going to use cash. Lots of money.
Well, what I would tell people is, one, I'm not just a mortgage guy. I know a lot about finance guys. And a lot about as well as accounting. Now, I'm not an expert in either one of the fields, but I have a very, very good understanding of those. So the first question that needs to be asked is, what are the assets you have? The next question should be, based on the assets you have, are they liquid? So let me give you an example. You have, it is a second home that's paid for. Is it considered an asset? Well, it's not liquid unless you sell it, but hold one here. I can do a bridge loan against that property, so it is liquid. I have an inheritance, but it's stuck in probate, and I've got $3 million in a inheritance fund. Is it an asset? No, because it's in probate. Until it's outside of probate, it can't be counted. So the question is when I'm looking for liquid assets, I'm looking for something that I can liquidate in a short time frame, 5 to 10 days, maybe a little bit longer, depending on what the close date is. Now comes the next question. What is the process and the cost to liquidate?
Well, I do want to let everybody know that this is not something that you can count on going like super fast. It's right. Not like you're going to call Phil today and go, okay, I think I've got some assets. Let's liquidate them and I'm going to make an offer tonight. That is a process. You need, you know, every single, like, say, a stock or your 401k, there's a process to get a hold of those funds. Right, Phil?
Correct. And that's where I can help the client. There are times where I talk with the financial planner. I talk with the lawyer. I talk with the accountant. We do three-way calls. Sometimes we put all people on the phone at all one time to come up with what's the best strategy to prevent the taxation. We have IRS. We've got all kinds of issues we have to talk about that the consumer is somewhat blinded about. Okay, and that's where we can come to play and help them.
And so let's talk just for a moment about those people who don't have a home that they can pull equity from and get a bridge loan, that they're still able to possibly do a cash transaction, correct?
Sure. You know, let's give you an example of a client that's age, let's just say they're age 65. And right now, the only money they're collecting is their Social Security. But they have a house to sell, but they don't want to buy their next house because they're afraid their own house won't sell. So they don't want to sell their house first because they don't want to have a house to live in. An example of that is, let's suppose a client's looking to buy a $300,000 house. And they don't have the money to put down, but they have, let's say, $750,000 in their IRA. Believe it or not, you could take the $300,000 out of the IRA. You can then, it is, buy your house with that, then sell your house. And meaning, tell the folks, if you're between 150 and 300 and your house looks good and priced right, will it sell in 1 to 2 days right now?
Yes, it will. Very fast. 100%. I would say that you could actually bump that to 300,000 and maybe even 350, 400, where you don't have to worry. Your house is going to sell. I don't know what it would have to be built on for it not to sell right now. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Wizard of Oz, you know, you got little feet sticking out from under your house. That sucker's still going to sell. You don't have to worry about it.
All right. So we take the 300 from the IRA. We buy the house. Okay, as soon as we buy the house, then I do a loan, which is called delayed financing. And there's a lot of mortgage people, they don't even maybe even understand the term, or maybe the bank doesn't even offer it. Basically, I can do a cash out refinance day one after they're listed on title. So they go to the closing, they get me the closing disclosure. I start a loan of a refinance, 80% of the purchase price. I'm then able to get that client $240,000 back. They can immediately put that back into their IRA. And remember, as long as the IRA or the asset has been returned back to the original vendor that was holding it within 60 days, there's no taxation to the federal government.
Well, let's talk a little bit about taxation. So in your example just there, you were saying that you would have to put 80% of the purchase price the day after closing, as soon as you have on your hands the closing disclosure from the actual closing. So there's still a difference there in what they took out of their IRA versus what they needed for that transaction. What are you seeing for complications or taxation?
If it's a primary residence, understand, as long as if you're single, as long as you don't sell your house for more than $250,000 over your sales price, you're able to keep all of that. If it's a second home or an investment property, once you sell your home, you're going to end up having to pay what's called capital gains. Current capital gains on an investment property and second home, don't quote me on this, but I believe it to be about 20%. With the understanding, I'm hearing things through the government that they may actually try increasing that to 28%. But the key is if I get you back 80%, then you sell your house, and you sell your house 45 days later, you've still met that 60-day cap. So you're not going to be taxed on any of it. Yes, is it a risk? I would say it's a calculated risk based on this market right now.
Right. And let's just talk a little bit more about that exclusion from capital gains for folks that own their primary residence. For a single person, that's $250,000. And for a couple, it's $500,000. So that is a very good exclusion that we hope will not go away. Phil, is there anything that you'd like to conclude about the cash buyer that people should know? Call us if you are financed and perhaps this might be a scenario that would work for you to win.
I would tell them to contact me. If they're skeptical, have them contact their tax accountant first, then call me. I would love to be able to help them, and I know Mimi would love to help represent those cash buyers out there.
Right. And so, you know, I know that there are, you know, for basically for financial planners, they're very conservative to begin with, right? And so the likelihood that you're going to call your financial planner and they say, this is crazy, you know, that's not going to be a good thing for you. I would suggest that you get all three of them on the phone, yourself, your financial planner, and Phil.
Yeah.
And have a consultation. And because a lot of times financial planners may not be aware that this is even a possibility, or maybe they've never had the thought.
Right.
Phil?
I totally agree. And matter of fact, we could even be, bring Mimi in on the conversation as well, because the tax accountant and the financial planner might be somewhat skeptical as to how quickly the house can sell.
Exactly.
Because it does sound risky if you're going, hey, here's my giant, you know, this is my retirement nest egg. And you're like, no, you'll get it back, you know, right away.
Right. 100%. Yeah, it's understandable to be skeptical, but it does work. And we've seen it work. Phil?
And believe it or not, I'm seeing 10 to 15% of clients out there. That's exactly what they're doing to basically acquire a home right now. And moms and dads and uncles and aunts and grandmas and grandpas are actually helping first-time home buyers this way as well.
Yeah. So you're always looking for ways that can you can stand out and make yourself more attractive when you're facing, you know, who knows, countless other offers. And you don't, you know, the thing is when you're a buyer, you know, I get asked this all the time, like, well, how much should I go to?
Right.
It's like playing poker. You don't know. You do not know. The hand is concealed.
Right.
And they're not going to tell you.
Right.
Phil?
And then along with the with that, the delayed financing mortgage option to basically refinance their home after they buy it basically puts them back in the same position had they been a finance buyer, but that now we don't have the finance contingency in the purchase agreement, and that's what puts that client in that top position as cash is king.
Yes. The financing contingency, taking that out of there, makes everything very, very simple.
And we've brought up the cash is king concept a couple of times on the show today. It also seems like you guys used to say that if you were a cash buyer, then you'd get it basically at a deal or you'd get a discount on it. Is that still the case?
So the deal that you get when you're a cash buyer most of the time is that you might win the house.
Okay.
You can't come into the transaction cocky.
Okay.
Just because you happen to have a lot of cash. Because I have seen sellers to say, you know, that number is too low.
Okay.
And the finance number, I believe that they can get that financing and that makes them, you know, what I walk away with more profit in my pocket. That's what a seller wants.
Right.
It's like, how do you make a seller happy? More money.
Right.
So that's what we have been seeing. So if you are coming into the market with cash from another market, let's just say, that maybe is very different from this market, please listen to the advice that your agent is giving you, because Florida, Montana, Nebraska, Arizona, we're all different. Mm-hmm. Our agreements are different. Our markets are different. And what you see in one place doesn't mean that that's what you're going to see here.
Fair enough.
So, Phil, one of the things that we have been seeing that is happening in the marketplace is with COVID, we saw that that Airbnbs, that their rentals were going down. Mm-hmm. And now with the ability to work from just about anywhere in remote areas, wherever you like, we've actually seen people going and renting Airbnbs during COVID and working remotely from wherever they want. You know, what's better, a snowy view or a beach view?
Right.
You know, so one of the things that people are doing now is that they're actually considering buying Airbnbs in markets where they might want to ultimately live. Phil?
So what is an Airbnb? It's an online marketplace that connects people who want to rent out their home with people who are looking for accommodations in that locality. It currently covers about 100,000 cities, 220 countries worldwide. And believe it or not, the company name came from what's called the Air Mattress B&B. And yes, basically what you're doing is you're renting out your second home, or you're renting out a primary residence that's maybe in a prime vacation, hunting, fishing location. And, you know, why would people want to even consider this? Well, one, you're able to make extra cash flow on your property. I've actually got a client, owns a property in Florida. It's worth $1.4 million, has a mortgage on it, rents it out 3 months out of the year. And guess what? That 3 months out of the whole year covers his whole mortgage payment.
Right. And I've had clients that have actually done this in their own primary residence, where they had a room in their basement, mm-hmm. literally. And they would have people come in and they would share their kitchen and they would rent that out. And that supplemented their income, and they would make $400 or $500 extra dollars a month. And so people use it for a variety of reasons. So that you can use it for extra cash to maybe save up for something else, or you can use it to supplement your income instead of having a permanent roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And some people use it because they're lonely.
Right.
And they actually get to have company in their mm-hmm. house that they can actually host and have fun with it. Phil?
How about buy that second home now in northern Minnesota or northern Wisconsin, and now you're able to rent it out in the winter to the snowmobilers and to the ice fishermen?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we can talk about going to sunny Florida, which I love to go to.
We'll also take your calls. You can call us at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back here on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. You're listening to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 1071. And as we just said, you can also find it on the app and on MyTalk1071.com. I'm in Shannon here with Mimi Shoneman and Phil Olson, talking about what's going on out there in the market and how, if you are trying to figure out ways that you can go, how do I make this whole thing work? We have the resources to help you make these deals actually all come together.
Yes. And we're talking a little bit in the last break about Airbnbs. And I have known folks that have chosen to do Airbnb instead of actually renting out a single family home. And the demand for single family homes right now outside of the metro areas, the heart of the downtowns, has exploded. And people have just been looking for that right investment opportunity. And as we've always said, we believe in real estate. We believe strongly that real estate is a strong investment for you in the long term. And to buy an Airbnb can be a great strategy for the buy and hold. Phil?
Absolutely. But, you know, we always want to talk about the good and the bad and the ugly. Right, Miss Mimi?
I don't like talking about ugly. You might. Because that's how you roll.
Well, I'd rather talk about reality.
Okay.
So understand, you know, when you invest, you're taking a risk. And this is, you are investing, okay, as an Airbnb. So number one, just understand you rent it out, now you can't use it. Yeah. You missed that weekend that maybe you always went up to the cabin on. How about cancellations due to COVID? The Airbnb site that I visited basically talks about if it's COVID related, they get their money refunded. So you don't get paid that weekend. I don't know how you would feel, but I don't know if I would feel good about having other people sleep in my bed.
Oh, believe for goodness sake.
But,
okay. Yeah. So I have a friend that we just literally were having this discussion about RVs. So, you know, so you have to plan on changing the sheets, folks. You know, that's part of it. You are a landlord that you, well, actually you're a motel, right, Ms. Shannon?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, right. You got to plan on having a washing machine and disinfecting.
It's just different if you're going to be that one, especially if you want to keep your rating up and do all of those things. And there are some people that have privacy issues, and then you may not be a good candidate to make your home an Airbnb.
Yes.
You know, so.
Well, yeah, if you don't like going up or you're not going to hire somebody to come clean your place.
Right.
Well, typically with an Airbnb, there's always a cleaning fee.
Correct.
You know, if you're going to be doing your own cleaning, then that's just extra profit, right?
Yes.
But it's a pain in the neck, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to go over and do that and pick up the trash and all the bottles and the stuff.
And there's just that variety, because as Phil said, it may mean that you decide that you're not going to use it during prime things because you're capable of making more money on it. But there's also that thing where you're like, well, maybe people aren't using it as much as I thought, and what am I going to do? So it is kind of a balance.
Right, Phil?
And then there's the money side, and I'm always the money guy, all right? Well, folks, if you're going to Airbnb it, you have to file specific tax forms. You'll have to file a Form 1099 and also a Form 1042. You can research that. But, yes, you are going to pay tax on the rental income you receive.
Yes. And you also have to check with the city. And when you are buying the property, you want to make sure that you've done your due diligence there, because what a womp, womp, womp if you buy one and think you're going to be able to do it.
And you can't.
And the city says, I don't think so.
Right.
We've changed that whole rule. We're not going to do that anymore. And there are cities that actually have limits on that. And so you want to make sure that you understand that where you want to buy your investment property, that it'll do what you want it to do. And that needs to happen while, actually, it should happen before you actually start
exactly.
looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Phil, let's talk about, you know, what people do, clients with homes in recreational and tourist areas. So let's just say that, Ms. Shannon, you and I have talked about it. We're going to Golden Girl it. We're going to get a duplex in Florida. Someplace.
Yeah.
Because we like little cranes and little crabs that
and it
go
seems
on
like
the
a
beach.
Good place that we could go and explore and have a good time as we age gracefully. Yes.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay in your place and we'll rent the other side out, and then you come into my place
right.
and we're going to flip-flop like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just gave a reference. I'm not sure everybody knows. Phil, Golden Girls, you know what that is?
Wait, everybody knows Golden Girls.
Okay. Yeah, I'm old enough to remember Golden Girls.
And that's
Girl.
Not even an old thing. There's lots of people. Golden Girl is like...
Yeah, okay. Well, just in case you don't...
There's
you
t-shirts at
it.
Target and Walmart. We're fine.
There you go. Okay. So people who need extra cash flow, Phil, let's talk about what benefits there are for folks that have that.
Well, how about the property that's in northern Minnesota that's completely paid for? In northern Minnesota on a lake, it's going to go for at least $300, but let's say it's $400 and it's free and clear. How about we pull the cash out of that, buy another second home, maybe we buy it in Florida, and now we Airbnb our second home out to cover the mortgage, and now we accumulate another asset.
Perfect. I like that strategy. You're always taking people up north. You from here or something?
I have a property up on Leech Lake, and I hope to spend a lot of time up there this coming year.
See, he's planning.
Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. So let's talk about cash flow. Like, you just gave a really good example, but you gave one that said taking a northern home that was paid free and clear. What if it isn't paid free and clear? Let's talk about options that somebody that's got a lake home, that they could use some of the equity in that to buy another second home.
Well, you can use a bridge loan as long as the client has a 90% equity position or 20% equity position in that property. They could pull 10% down out. 10% down is required on a second home, so they could finance the purchase of their new second home or have two second homes, one in Minnesota, one in Florida, okay? And matter of fact, you could only have 1 second, so they'd have to put 20% down on the other property, but you could pull it out of that one property up north.
Okay. Or any other property that you have.
Or the primary residence, sure.
And the same thing, too, with what we were talking about with cash. So for your Airbnb, can folks do that same scenario and pull cash out of their investments to make a cash offer on a second or third home?
Sure.
Okay.
You can pull cash out. You can pull cash out at 80% on a second home and it's 70% on an investment property. All those monies that in homes is accessible as long as you can be mortgage qualified.
And the thing that I love about this scenario with investment properties, Ms. Shannon, and the same for you when you were purchasing.
Right.
I love the fact that you are using OPM.
Yeah.
Yes. Other people's money.
Right.
To pay down your debt and
yes.
your principal faster.
Right.
And you're not doing anything but giving them a good place to lay their head at night.
Exactly.
And fair rent.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's Monopoly all day long.
Right.
Yes. And I love that. Phil?
Believe it or not, on an Airbnb, you can charge the consumer whatever you want them to charge. There are no rules or regulations as to how much rent you can get off of an Airbnb where it's different as an investment property.
Oh, elaborate on that for a quick second.
Well, most cities have it is landlord rules as to how much a landlord can charge in rent. Well, an Airbnb is not considered a rental.
Okay.
It's not considered to be a true rental or a true investment property. You're just renting it out for 1 or 2 weeks to whoever wants to live there for 2 weeks and have a vacation. My friend with the $1.4 million home, he charges, believe it or not, $10,000 a week to rent his house out in the Keys. All right. And it has a beautiful dock. And it's a 3-bedroom, 3-bath home, beautiful. But I mean, if I were to take that home and bring it up to Minnesota, it's probably a $600,000 house. But down in the mm-hmm. Keys, it's $1.4 million.
Right,
yes. Because they have a beach,
and it's correct, warm. A big
yes.
beach.
Yes, you know, I was just thinking, and we've only got a minute here
right.
before we go into the break. Phil, what's the best way for folks to contact you?
They can reach me at 651-238-6748, or they can email me at any time at phil@callphilolson.com.
Yes, and you can also reach us at mimi@mnredhotrealestate.com. You can text real estate or mortgage to 651-578-2218, and we'll get back to you.
Right. So, and I know you guys have lots of information out there. I also remind you, if they go to your website, Mimi, if they're just going, hey, I don't know where to start, that's always a great place for you to start.
100%.
Right.
And we also have really great buying and selling guides. All you have to do is request those.
Also find it on our website, mytalk1071.com, keyword red hot.